Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I mean, we're going to talk about hunger because the hunger for, this is what, if you want to know, what is the key ingredient that moves the heart of God? And some people say, well, it's faith. Faith is the only thing that moves God. But it's actually faith in God. It's not just faith in faith.
Right.
It's the fact of wanting to be with God and God with you. And it's like this hunger for just more of him. But who doesn't want to be around somebody who wants to be with him? Can you imagine? Okay, yeah, come on over. You know, that's some people treat God that way. But just being hungry for more of him. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Are you hungry?
I'm hungry.
Talk to me, man. Talk to me.
You know, I've just been really stirred, and the Holy Spirit has just led me to just thinking about so many of the awesome things, how God used Paul. I mean, we've talked about it many times. He wrote pretty much half the New Testament, right?
But I mean, Paul's an apostle for those of us.
Right, yeah. Right. And but the thing is, though, you know, we talked about he was Saul beforehand. You talked about, you know, Jesus, the organizer.
He wasn't Saul, but he actually had a name. His name was Saul.
Right. His name was Saul, right. And just in his religious zeal was persecuting the church.
Killing them.
And on the road to Damascus, God just shined the light and brighter than the noonday sun. Mm-hmm. And he was blinded immediately.
On his way
on
to
his
persecute
way,
the church with a
right.
letter from right. God's folks, supposedly. He's going to go and hurt and harm more of the
right.
church, and he's headed that way, and then wow,
yeah,
yeah,
and he hears it says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul's immediate response was, "Lord," and it's just
right.
amazing. It's just like he knew who it was that was speaking it immediately.
Right,
he knew.
Right,
and what has so stuck out to me?
There's nothing like being blinded for 3 days that gets you like, does anybody know where Damascus is at?
Yeah.
Do you know where Damascus is at?
You're going to begin to assess, okay, what is it that I've been doing?
Yeah,
you're
right,
going to find
right.
out real quick, okay, maybe that right. wasn't the right motives.
Which, by the way, it shows you, too, that, you know, somebody may be just zealous for who they perceive as God.
Right.
So instead of just writing them off, why not preach to them who God is?
Mm-hmm.
Preach to them about Jesus, because
right.
once they meet Jesus, all that zealousness and energy and
be for the right God.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And what has just so stuck out to me is that in Paul's letter to Timothy, in the first chapter he writes, and this is in 1 Timothy verse 1 or chapter 1 verse 15, he says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." And that has so just, I have been just meditating on that, because you look at so many of the awesome things. I mean, in a later chapter, I can't remember the specific scripture, but he talks about basically all the things that he's done, shipwrecked and beaten and stoned and all the things he's done and the religious zeal that he's done before. And he's just like, but I consider it all dung.
Dung, yeah.
Dung. Poo.
Because I just want to know him.
Right.
And what I love about that is that when you look at before that verse and after that verse, Paul does such an awesome job of just sharing, no, I've done all this, but I want you to remember that it is the grace of Jesus that he found me faithful to be a servant for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it has just got me to just thinking about if you really, I mean, when you look at that road to Damascus encounter in Acts 9, it's like,
which is in Syria.
Yeah. And it's like, think about the reality that Paul was blinded for 3 days.
And he couldn't see.
He could not see, that he had to have someone lead him by the hand. And you can see this in Acts 9, chapter 9. It says that for 3 days, Saul was blind and did not eat or drink anything. And I think about that, and it's just like, this is just absolutely just wrecking me, because I'm like, and the Holy Spirit even said to me, he wasn't blind. Granted, yeah, he could not see the things of the world, but I was showing him his heart.
Mm.
And that is just really wrecking me, because
we think about that. But think about that. Here you were persecuting God.
Yeah.
You thought you were doing God a favor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you find out I was hurting God, and not only that, he took it personally and said, why are you kicking against me? Why are you persecuting me? And then, like you're saying, and then his ability to see was shut down for 3 days. So you're pondering, oh my God, just met God. And the last thing I saw, I was in my Mercedes headed to Damascus and had a hot list from the, a hit list from the temple that I was going to take out some Christians. And the last thing I remember is looking at the hit list, looking at the satellite GPS system. obviously not. But just think about it. The last thing he saw was his evilness.
Right. And his intent of what his motives were.
Yeah, and it's like, of all the things, and now you can imagine, you put a blindfold on, you start getting introspective is what you're talking about, right? You're mm-hmm. sort of thinking about all this. It's like, man, I'm so bad. Mm-hmm. I am the chiefest. Mm-hmm. Of sinners. I mean, I'm surprised he even talked to me. I mean, it's over now because obviously I'm blinded. So it must be over for me. I mean, wouldn't you think that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's just really changing me, because you look at just the awesome exploits of how God used Paul, but it's because Saul first went through that encounter. And that was the amazing thing is, you know, we were talking about this. It's just like, and to know that Jesus still loved him.
Right.
After
had
that
plans
encounter,
for him.
Had, yeah. I've got a all plan for
him. But he didn't
life.
Know it yet. He's still blinded.
Exactly.
You know what he's thinking about. You know, and he had to be clear melancholy. You know what I'm saying? To do that kind of stuff.
You want this life of
he
all the
thinker.
Things I've done?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like to
I'm
to,
in trouble now.
Exactly.
Just hide me. Where am I at? Put me over here.
He's gonna hit me with the ruler.
I'm blinded.
He's just waiting to do me in, but he's just like, no, I love you. I've got a plan for your life. That wrecks his whole paradigm of religion and doing all these things. It's just like, wait a minute. Of all of these, where I've been at the last 3 days, you love me now? Love me in this?
Yeah.
Yes.
And think about this, though. Think about it. While he was going through all those emotions prior to, you know, him, this Christian man showing up on the talk to pray for him, you know, he's sitting here thinking, I mean, this has got to be terrible. Imagine that.
Yeah.
And then finally, God's going to send a man to him to pray for him. I'm going to show you some things you must suffer for me.
Yeah.
And it was just like, whoa, you want to use me? I am the chiefest. I am the worst of sinners.
Yeah.
I'm the worst. Mm-hmm. And so then he says, by the way, he was the worst. So all those false doctrines saying you can be the worst sinner.
Yeah.
That's not what he's saying. He says, I was the worst. And he said he did it so that God can actually prove that has mercies. Mm-hmm. That if he can save me, I mean, think about it. Yeah. If he can save Pat. No, I'm really seriously. You know, if he can save Steve, if he can save me, I mean, think about it. That's all of us. If you're thinking right now that God can't use you, save you, He loves you, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing too. Is there's so much of that? There's such a false gospel being shared. It's just like, well, I'm not as bad as that guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm a good person. And it's like if you try to live your life apart from Jesus, you are no different than a murderer or a The wicked, so many the evil things that can be done. You're the same. You would be going to the same hell.
Yeah, just with less luggage.
Less things done. But it's just like it's still apart from Christ, and that's where it's just like I am Paul.
Yes,
I am Paul.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing is just seeing that connection so often.
Or Saul.
Any one of them.
Yeah.
I've always seen that connection, and I would always pray, you know, God, let me see what Paul saw. And I would always have that perspective of if you read Revelation 1, John has that perspective in the fullness of Jesus. He fell at his feet as though dead. Mm-hmm. That's what I always thought when I would say, let me see what Peter saw. Right. Let me see what, so you know, the endless list of so many godly men and women that God has used before our time. Let me see what they saw. But it's just like the Holy Spirit is saying, no. If you want to see what Paul saw, I'm going to show you your heart. Because at that moment, it's that remembering moment. It's just like, okay, each of us remember that first encounter when we said, I need Jesus. And we made that decision, that salvation moment, because we understood what was in our heart. We understood the sin in our life. We understood, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner. I need a savior. I need Jesus.
I'm bad. Jesus is good.
Yes.
I need good.
And the thing is, though, it doesn't have to stop there.
Right.
And the amazing thing is, as this is just continuing, the Holy Spirit's even shown me that same journey that he took Peter on. Peter was so hungry for Jesus. He says, yeah, I can do it. I can do it. And Jesus was even speaking to him. He's like, no, actually, you're going to deny me. And Peter was like, no, I wouldn't do that. And it's just like, Jesus knew Peter's own heart when Peter didn't even know his heart.
Right.
And it says in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, it talks about Peter denying Jesus, and he wept bitterly for 3 days. The same amount of time that Peter or that Paul, that Paul was looking at his own heart.
Wow.
But what is really just absolutely wrecking me is that their journey afterwards, that the love of Jesus for both Peter and Paul did not waver. It didn't change.
Right.
He knew who they were. It's just that they were finding out who they were.
Yeah. Right.
And you...
Which proves how good God is. The more we look at who we are, the more we see how good he is.
Yes. Wow. And it's just really changed me. And you can read about this in John 21, is that, you know, we were talking about this morning, is that imagine the last thing that Peter does, and Peter is one of the disciples when Jesus walked. He denies Jesus. Jesus is basically getting lied on. Judas is going through all the things that he's going through for some silver. And Jesus is killed, crucified.
Right.
Imagine the weekend that Peter is going through. It's over. He's dead. What am I going to do? And you look at in John 21, Jesus is, or Peter is fishing. He's like, I guess I'll go back to fishing.
Yeah, go back to what? If you don't know where to go, go back to what?
What's he know?
Yeah.
You know?
And Jesus shows up on the side of the sea where he's fishing. And it's John and Peter in the boat. And he says, it's the Lord, because Jesus called out to him, and he says, throw your net on this side. And they recognized who Jesus was. And Peter just abandons everything, jumps out of the boat, and swims to Jesus. And it says the boat's about 100 yards away. And to me, that is just showing me, it's just like he went to the depths of his own heart, and Jesus was still there. And that's where it's just like, God, I want to see what they saw.
And God had a plan for them. Once they were willing to look at themselves.
Yes. If we're willing to go to the depths of what is in our own heart and allow Jesus to take us there, we're going to see Jesus in such an awesome way and allow us and allow God to use us like Paul was used, like Peter was used. But we've got to go there. We've got to be willing to say, I got some things in my heart that I don't even know that's there, but Jesus is still loving us.
We're talking about hunger. Hunger moves God. And Steve was sharing with us about his experience. When I think about, you know, when you're talking, you know, Steve, about, you know, to know what's in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the men and women that have been used by God, one consistent theme rides throughout all that is pain, rejection,
mm-hmm.
isolation, and a release from all the ties that bind. And they're just saying, all God, all the time, whatever. And quite often, if you look, I think about Mariah Etter. I mean, she lost 6 children before she said yes.
Wow.
You know, I think about, you know, Amy Simple McPherson, the stuff that she went through. And if I think about a Dowie, and I think about John G. Lake, whose family turned totally against him, didn't want anything to do with it. They went to Canada. Now here he is touching the world, you know, for the Lord, and the enemy turns his family against him. And the price of knowing him. And this is what's really, because you think about Paul, you know, wanting to be Paul. Paul was so Jewish and such a Pharisee that when he did get saved, the Christians didn't want anything to do with him because they were scared of him.
Right.
But he was such a Christian that the Jews didn't want anything to do with him because he betrayed, they thought, his faith. And the whole thing is like, Are you willing to live isolated in the context of those who just are buying into whatever to be loyal to the bridegroom, to be just inundated with a passion for love for him? Mm-hmm. But what comes with it is it starts weeding folks out of your life, and you're just so shocked. It's like, but you talked about Jesus your whole life. Why now would you not? This is him.
Yeah.
We pray for rain. It's raining. You know what? You know, that type of thing. And it's like, oh my goodness. Because when Paul was in jail, he was in jail alone. When he was in jail, he had to ask Timothy, would you bring me a coat? It's cold in here and nobody else has come to visit me. Would you bring me a coat? But yet he wrote half of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about the blessings and the... I mean, you think about this. It's like, the thing about it is when you break off your concerns in regards to the world, in regards to what man might think, or and realize the sad thing about it is that when you go all in for God, mm-hmm. you find out who wasn't in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing of all, is when you find out the ones that you want so bad to go after God and to love God, as they walk away. Mm-hmm. Or they settle somewhere in the context of, I'm fine with this religion, but in regards to, you know, following Jesus and,
right.
and preaching about him and telling people, but putting his name on my armband,
right.
you know, I mean, how many people, you can really find out what's in someone's heart when you put, you know, God's name on their wrist, right?
Sure can.
And it's just amazing how it's like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? I mean, are you, and this is where people really, or they're doing, they really have a fear. They're trying to please men
mm-hmm.
and they don't even know it. But when you put God on the outside of their life and, you know, where they have to wear God, and they start realizing they're just convicted. It's like, oh my goodness, I really wasn't that. I wasn't that loyal. It's like putting, it's sort of like, you know, telling a wife, you know, I want you to wear this wedding ring. And she says, I don't want to wear the ring. Everybody will know I'm married.
Mm.
You know, or telling the husband, you know, you're going to wear this wedding ring. And it, you know, and he goes, I don't want to wear it. So every single day he tells her, baby, I love you. I mean, you are numero uno in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes his ring off and he leaves it on the dresser, and then he goes out and he mingles in society.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's going to say, I got issues with this.
Right.
I got issues with this. You know why? Because in his heart, that particular story, in his heart, he's not loyal to his, he's not truly loyal to her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He doesn't want to be seen as someone that's his, her husband. And she didn't want to be seen as someone who's, that he's her husband, spouse. And so when you won't wear the wedding ring for Jesus,
yeah.
when you won't put on a simple shirt that says, I mean, I'm not into shirts myself, but does anything, it's just, uh-huh. you're so convicted. We've seen a particular attorney that was just freaking out when he put Jesus on his arm. And it changed his life because he decided to put Jesus in his heart. But I've seen others that, you know, God rescues them and they say, yes, I want to just put an armband on that says God.
Uh-huh.
And, but all of a sudden when they get rescued and then they start pulling the armband off, pushing the Bible aside. And it's like, no, truly to be a Paul, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To be that Peter is like, you know what Peter said? This is what Peter said. He said, I am willing. He says, they're going to crucify. They beheaded Paul. They cut his head off, by the way. He died. And the reports are he ran to the chopping block.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter, they were going to crucify Peter. This is how sold out he was. They were going to kill him by crucifixion. And he said, crucify me upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want it to look like anything what Jesus did.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Crucify me upside down. So when you're talking about that, that's mm. that, because the price is everything.
Right.
The price is everything. But it always was everything. Jesus said, unless you give up everything, unless you measure the price, the cost, it always has been everything, but religion maybe said a lot of things that it don't have to be everything.
Mm.
When Jesus preached, think about this, when Jesus himself preached now, which means he did an excellent job, made no mistakes, and his doctrine was correct. When he preached, his very own disciples, the ones who followed him and who he called, when he finished his sermon, they didn't say, let's go get something to eat. This is what they said. Who then can be saved? I mean, think about that.
Right.
When Jesus preached, it was so convicting. It was such a righteous word that they would say, his own disciples who spent time with him and just lived their life together, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, you know, what's impossible with men is possible with God. But when you hear what's being preached in America right now, when you hear what's being preached, people are basically, you can say, who can't be saved? It's everybody, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, in the midst of all that, there maybe is you that's like, you know what, I don't know what's wrong with this, but I'm just hungry for more of him. I want more of God. I don't want religion. I don't want people trying to build their stuff. There's so many I's going on in the world. It's ridiculous, you know, T-U-V-A-B-C in the I, mm-hmm. the idolatry, where people They want a ministry. We've heard things like, oh, they'll take my ministry. Ministry? The word ministry means servant. You're serving. There's right. What are you talking about? And but in the context of this, you know, just go after God. If you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. It's a promise. It's a promise and a commitment from God. And realize in these days, all the stuff that's happening, let me tell you something. Our God is in control. And this is what he's saying through all these situations with economy and wars and rumors of war and all this crazy persecution and stuff. He's saying, listen, maybe this will motivate you to say, you know what? I'm going to draw near to God. I'm going to begin to abide with Jesus Christ. And we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. If you haven't begun to abide, maybe you do know how to abide. Begin to spend time with God and spend time with those who spend time with God. Because whoever you hang around, you become. Bad company corrupts good character. But let me tell you, hungry folks, hanging with hungry folks makes you hungrier.
That's right.
It makes you hungrier. And hanging with dead folks makes you deader. Find you some hungry folks, go after God, and you will not be disappointed.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households. All around the world. It is amazing. Make sure if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not, we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.